Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
We've been in a marvelous series, and I'm going to bring the conclusion of that series this morning, and we've called it Healing America. America needs to be healed. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. The kind of debauchery that's taking place and the gender confusion and so much corruption, the problem at the border, and all kinds of health epidemics and drug epidemics, we need to be healed. America is made of families. So I figure, logically, if America is made of families, of course individuals as well, but if God can heal you, God can heal me, which he has, then he can heal everybody else. He can heal families and he can set our nation on course. Can you say amen? Can you say a better amen? Amen. God and the devil are not in some titanic battle. The battle's already been won through Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Put your foot on the devil's neck and don't get up off of it. Get your family healed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, turn there with me, please. And if you're able to stand up on your feet, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. As we stand for God's reading of God's word in honor of it. If you don't want to stand, you don't have to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 to 21, the New International Version. Are you ready? For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one with a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, the final verse, read it with me right out loud. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Father, thank you for what you've done in this series, what you did in the first service, what you've been doing. In our midst, we stand in awe of your great grace and thank you that the best is just around the corner. Move in power, Lord. Let every man, woman, and child be brought low and you be glorified. God, from Barrow to Ketchikan and the Aleutian Islands, all the places that we reach with all of our platforms, pour out your spirit, God, in all of our watch parties, Lord, in Point Hope, God, all around the world potentially. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. Come on, put your hands on your heart and ask God to speak to you today. Speak to us today in the name of Jesus. And may we respond, being ever changed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you're acquainted with American history, you would know the name and the image that's on the screen behind me, Marquis de Lafayette. Anybody ever heard the name Marquis de Lafayette? He came here in 1777, a little bit of American history, and he was 19 years old when he arrived, and he arrived to join the American Revolutionary War. Despite his youth and lack of formal training, he became a valuable leader in the American Revolution. He was asked, and this is, you'll find this in different places in history. It's hard to know exactly what the response and the quote is, but we certainly get the idea. He was asked, what is the secret of America's greatness? And he responded that America's greatness lies in its churches and the moral and spiritual values upheld by its people. While the exact wording and details of that story are vague, he basically says that America's churches are what brought the moral rectitude and the framework of righteousness and the ideas of inalienable rights. Churches, he said, are the secret to America's greatness. Thousands came to faith in the 1730s and 1740s. It's called the Great Awakening. And I've shared this with you before. But there's no way to separate the Great Awakening that took place in the 1730s and the 1740s in America and the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution and what happens after. It is absolutely imperative if you're to study the founding fathers, and they were imperfect men, I understand that. But you were to study the founding fathers, which two-thirds of their writing is scripture. Go read the founding fathers. Two-thirds of their writing is the word of God. They studied the word as a way of education. Lawyers would study the word in preparation to be attorneys. I mean, that's kind of incredible. Thousands came to Christ in 1730s and 1740s, which literally caused the foundation of our nation to be laid at that time. Preachers like Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, John Wesley. The hand of God was on our country back then. I believe the hand of God is on our country now. Can you say amen? George Washington, some stories here. One of the chief Native American chiefs who was a leader in the French 15 years prior to meeting George Washington, he saw him in a battle 15 years before. He had the opportunity to come visit George Washington after the Revolutionary War because he wanted to pay homage to the man who had the great spirit on him. That is what this chief said. He said over a council fire, listen to this. He declared that as he was a leader in the French, he recounted the famous battle from his perspective. He explained that as he gave orders to his braves to single out the officers and shoot them down, and that Washington was specifically targeted, the chief proudly announced that his own rifle had never before been known to miss. But after personally firing at George Washington 17 times without effect, he concluded that Washington was under the care of the Great Spirit. Therefore, he instructed his brave to stop firing, confessing to Washington, this is 15 years later, that he came to pay homage to him. Red Hawk, another Native American chief, fought at a famous battle called Monongahela in 1755. George Washington faced most certain death. He was targeted multiple times, including by Red Hawk, who shot at Washington 11 times without success. The Native Americans believed that the Great Spirit was protecting Washington, which led them to cease fire. The miraculous protection was later interpreted as a sign that Washington was destined for greatness, and not only Washington destined for greatness, America was destined for greatness. And revisionists have changed our history and are rewriting history books. So I just feel it's important just to give you some of the history as it is history of the faith of our nation. It is not some political party that made our nation great, nor will any new political party make our nation great. It's the church. It's God who makes any nation great, and it's God who levels any other nation. The nation whose God is the Lord will become great. So these colonists highly valued their personal faith in Christ, and they saw the Bible as true. They saw the Bible as truth, absolute truth, and they based their lives on it. Of course, imperfectly, just like you and I are imperfect. Ryan Messimore of the Heritage Center, some of you heard of the Heritage Center, the Heritage Foundation, has written extensively on how the moral authority of churches and families contributes to America's greatness. He emphasized, quote, local communities, particularly religious congregations and families, play a crucial role in cultivating virtues necessary for a healthy democracy. These institutions foster personal responsibility, moral behavior, a sense of community, were essential to the nation's well-being and freedom. I promise you that the kid, that 20-year-old that fired and failed at assassinating President Trump, was not some on fire Christian baptized in the Holy Ghost. Obviously, something wrong with him. The failed attempt. Thank God. When I was with my wife in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Pastor Karen was born in Portsmouth. A number of years ago, we were there, and we went to go get our ritualistic Starbucks. Across the street from the Starbucks is the North Church. You can go look it up online, North Church in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. How many of you know where Portsmouth, New Hampshire is? Beautiful town. They've had numerous revivals there. It was a part of the Great Awakening, and there's stories from Portsmouth of how God poured out his spirit. And so the North Church in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, is this beautiful church. I mean, this beautiful, picture-perfect New England church with this spire that goes into the sky, and it's a large facility. So Pastor Karen is picking up the Starbucks, and I'm out front, and I'm admiring the architecture of this church and just going, wow, they must have had a real revival to like build that. And then I'm realizing, you know, the doors are closed. Massive doors are closed, and then I start looking at all the people around the church. On the steps are drug deals going on, people selling weed. There's a couple that's hooking up around the corner by the bush. I don't need to define that, do I? There's a fight that breaks out, a fight between a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and there's some other person weeping on the side. The whole front of this church, on these beautiful marble stairs, are all these broken people, like a cross-section of America, broken on the steps of this facility, this North Church in Portsmouth, with the doors closed. And the Lord spoke to me and said, this is exactly the picture of my church in America. And I was so grieved, where these incredible buildings are open for a one-hour dry cleaning service that doesn't get anybody clean on a Sunday morning, and the doors are shut, and all the people that are broken and hurting out front, so desperately in need of what we have here, so desperately in need of forgiveness and redemption and power and healing and deliverance, all on the steps of this church with the doors shut. That will never be the case here, so help me God. That's one of the reasons we have so many services. Truth is, church is open pretty much 7 days a week. So we said, no, it's not. Yes, it is, morning prayer. You can come to morning prayer. Church meant daily in the New Testament. And I'm a proponent of that. During COVID, I happened to go and look at that church online and some pictures, and I went to their website, and it literally said this. It made me so angry. It said, be the church, stay home, and wash your hands. Let me just tell you that during any crisis, the time to stay home is not what the church should be doing. And we didn't stay home either. And we grew by a third during that period of time. And we're growing even more now. Go ahead and wash your hands and then lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Can somebody say amen? America to be healed, the church has got to become strong again. Let's look at the text here. Oh, that we would have a great outpouring. Oh, that we would have another great awakening. The Apostle Paul here, writing to the church in Corinth, he defines what a Christian is. Listen close, write in your notes. We're compelled by God's love, verse 14, for Christ's love compels us. What does that mean? A Christian is to be compelled by God's love. What is it? Compelled means moved, means forced or provoked by, moved by. The love of God moves us. That's what should move you. That's what moves us. We're having church here because we're compelled to do it by the love of God. We do things as his love moves us. If you can just walk past hurting, broken people and it doesn't affect you, you need to check your love tank. You know, I dropped off my mother-in-law with my beautiful wife yesterday at the airport. Now, before you judge, just let me say, I grew up, learned to drive basically in Manhattan, first on a farm, then in Manhattan. And I can be somewhat aggressive, especially when it comes to getting a parking space in the middle of lots of traffic. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If I've offended you in that way, I'm so sorry. I might do it again. So it's jam-packed at the airport. Even in the departures, it's jam-packed. Arrivals is jam-packed. The place is just a zoo with people with fish boxes and all that. Thank God. Amen. And so I can't find parking, and a spot opens, but the only way for me to get into it, because there was a vehicle in front and a vehicle in back, I couldn't just turn in. I knew that I had to do kind of a three-point turn to make it work. So I put my blinker on, and there's traffic everywhere. I pull up, and I throw it in reverse. Well, some guy who also probably learned to drive in Manhattan decided to just pull in and take my spot. Well, my immediate response, I mean, maybe I could have been more prayed up, listening to some Christian music, be full of the Spirit. Now, my immediate response is drop it in reverse and punch it. That's my immediate response. Because, dude, I was obviously taking that spot, and you're coming and weaseling, and I'm going to drive you out like the devil. I mean, that's just... So I came flying back, and then I stopped. I thought, oh, that was really aggressive. And he stopped. I got in the spot. I got out, and the love of God touched my calloused heart. And I looked at the guy, I said, sorry. He's like, nah, it's okay. He's probably from New York too. I don't know. He was unoffended. The love of God should convict you. It should come upon you. I mean, may we not be offensive like that, but sometimes, you know, we are, and then may you be quickened to brought back to what's right. Love people. Come on, somebody say love people. That's what a Christian does. A Christian loves people. It doesn't mean you're a sissy. It doesn't mean you roll over and let people take your rights. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. Turn the other cheek. You can turn the other cheek and turn the other cheek until you're out of cheeks, and there's a time to sue someone. Oh, no, you need to work things out. You know, some people need to be sued. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. You know why? Because if they're not stopped, they'll go and do it to person after person after person after person. They need to be stopped. And sometimes we feel led to be that one that stops someone else. Not that I've been in a lawsuit. I haven't, thank God. Love of Christ constrains us. You're in church today is because God's love moved you to come here. Or maybe you came for some alternative reason, like meeting a wife or a husband, or maybe somebody made you come. And that cannot be, that's not all bad. I think finding a wife or a husband at church is a good place to find one. Now, if you're a wolf in sheep's clothing, we will find you and string you from a yardarm or get you converted to either one. Look at verse 15. What's a yardarm? Let's keep going. Verse 15. For he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Oh, snap. But for him who died for them and was raised to life. He's talking about what a Christian is. A Christian is compelled by love. Number two, we no longer live for ourselves, but for Jesus. Come on, somebody said, I'm not supposed to live for myself. I'm supposed to live for Christ. And so many of us can be selfish, but we're not supposed to be. No longer live for ourselves, but live for the one who died for us. And then verse 17, we're new creations. Therefore, if anyone, that's anybody, if anyone is in Christ, what does it mean to be in Christ? It means to repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that he died on a cross and he rose again from the grave. If anyone is in Christ, when you receive Jesus, now let me back up and say, you must be born again. Bump your neighbor and say, are you born again? Go ahead, ask him, you born again? Are you? You see, you can go to church until... You can go to the church and you can have baptismal waters dripping off your face and still split hell wide open. It's not about going to church. It's not about getting baptized. It is absolutely, positively about repenting of your sin and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, about being converted, about repenting. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon him would not perish. There is a perishing. would not perish but have everlasting life. You're going to live for eternity. Where you live is dependent upon the decision you make of whether you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior or not. And if you have not received them, then your sins remain and you are separated from God. This is biblical truth. I can almost hear in the spirit yell, man wrote that book. Yes, and you're an ignoramus. But you don't have to stay that way. And people that quote that know nothing, have not studied at all. Just looking at prophecy over 300 Old Testament scriptures, of which we have Dead Sea Scrolls that predate Christ. Man, I could just feel the pushback from somewhere in here. We have the Dead Sea Scrolls that predate Jesus. Over 300, Isaiah 53 alone, but over 300 Old Testament scriptures that prophesy that one would come, Emmanuel, born of a virgin, on and on and on. Talk about God sending his only son, the Lamb of God that's slain before the beginnings of the foundations of the world. Genesis in chapter 3 to Satan, you'll strike his heel, but he, the seed of the woman, will crush your head. Looking at all of those, the odds of those 300 scriptures coming to pass in the New Testament, the odds of that, and they all have come to pass, the odds of that are like taking a silver dollar and taking silver dollars and covering the entire state of Texas. A mathematician put this together. Cover the entire state of Texas, the smaller state to the south. Covering the entire state of Texas with silver dollars a foot deep and taking one silver dollar and flipping it into the state, and then you, on the first opportunity, walking in and picking up that one silver dollar in the midst of a sea of silver dollars and finding the exact one that was marked. Those are the odds. No, I'm a bet on the one that split time. I'm a bet my life on the Word of God. And it's working out quite well for us. But you're a new creation when you're born again. And until you've been born again, you are not new. It's not religion. That America doesn't need religion. America needs a new creation. America can be healed if people are set free from every bondage. If people receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they get converted and they get discipled. Now, I've known lots of people, even this morning, there's some were nursing hangovers from their wild time out last night only because they never really got set free. They prayed at the front, crocodile tears maybe, or maybe they were real ones. Maybe it was a real, genuine conversion, but then they didn't get discipled and they allowed the things of the world to creep in like Demas. Paul talks about this guy Demas whose love for the world caused him to reject Christ and went back out. I've known lots of people that have done that. I suggest you don't do it. It's very painful. God, bring back those who once served you. Come on, join with me for a moment. Bring back those who once served you, Lord. Heal them, set them free like you've done even for us here in this place. New creations. He's talking about what a Christian is. A Christian's compelled by love, no longer living for themselves, but living for Jesus. They're new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He took our sin, and in return, we received his righteousness. I said, he took your sin, he took mine, and in exchange, this dynamic, most powerful miracle that there ever has been or there ever will be, he takes away your unrighteousness, and he gives you his righteousness. Come on, somebody ought to say hallelujah or something. Justification by faith. Salvation by faith in Christ and Christ alone. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The Apostle Paul defines what a Christian's calling. That's what a Christian is. What is a Christian supposed to do? Well, that's a good question. So what does that have to do with healing America? Everything. Because if actually the church gets alive and gets strong, we have another outpouring, it will reverse the curse. It'll turn things around. I believe America can be healed. Come on, if you believe that, give a big amen. The Apostle Paul defines a Christian's calling. We have the ministry. Look at verse 18. The ministry of reconciliation. All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against him. And he has committed to us a message of reconciliation. To restore friendly relations between two parties. That's someone who brings reconciliation. Maybe you've had a challenge in your family. You had a mediator. The job of a mediator is to bring reconciliation between two parties. The ultimate mediator is Christ. He's the mediator. To bring reconciliation between himself, God, and those who all their life were in held of the bondage and the fear of death. We're called to do the same thing. And in fact, you look a little closer, verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Reconciled to God. An ambassador is an accredited diplomat. Come on, someone say, I'm an ambassador. If you're born again, you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're an ambassador. Come on, what do ambassadors do? I mean, they're usually an ambassador to another country, an ambassador to the United States in another country. You're from another place. You've been born again. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. You've been redeemed. Come on, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, says the book of Ephesians. Come on, you're literally here, but you're also in heaven. Jesus is at the right hand of majesty, but he's also in your heart. There's a duality to our existence, and we're in this world. Why? To be a minister of reconciliation, to be an ambassador. Ambassador of what country? Not some country, an ambassador of heaven to this broken world. If there's one message on the lips of God's people, it needs to be reconciled to God. Well, God's speaking to us this morning. God's people, and I put it in parentheses, the church, must be strong. Strong in their faith, strong in Christ, devoted. I wish the church would feed the poor, someone said. I wish the church would just, I can't believe the church doesn't. Dude, you're the church. And if you have a desire to do something that we're not doing, I'm all for it. You might be in charge. How come we don't? Well, here, come. Go through some training. Let's make sure you're not whack-a-doodle before we put you in charge of something, and then let's go ahead and do it. I think we should do all that too. I think we should do everything we can with all of his power that works so mightily in us. May we do everything we can to feed the poor and help the hungry and the broken and the lame and the halt and the withered. May we do all that there is to release the kingdom of God. And we are doing everything we can. And I'm so grateful, and we're going to do even more. That's why we started a school. Why would you start a school? Because so many of the schools are just jacked. They've removed Jesus, they've removed Christ, they've moved the Ten Commandments. They're teaching things that are just perverse. They have the transvestite story hour. Not on my watch. I just irritated myself right now. I just preached myself right into a frenzy right now. Giving civil rights to sin that people choose to do. I read somewhere, how is it that if children's church is in the back, so just brace yourself. If genitalia doesn't affirm gender, then how is it that removing it does? You're either a man or a woman based upon whatever your genetic, it's in your DNA. You can't change your DNA. So you're giving civil rights to people. You know, someone that's born black is black. That's in their DNA. Someone is not born a homosexual, not born a transsexual. You're not born that way. You choose that. People choose that. I'm preaching way better than your amen. And if you're offended, I'm just getting started. America needs to be healed. America needs to be healed and set right. And that'll happen by the church becoming strong. I'm not talking about religion and tradition that's just a stench with no power, no compassion. We love people all kinds of people. And if you're, we love everybody, but we hate sin and will preach against it until he splits the eastern sky. And if you're here and you struggle with sexual identity, you struggle with gender identity, all that, I'm gonna tell you right now, you can be set free, and we have the means to help you to get set free. You just call us, it'll be in confidence. You can call the church, get with one of our counselors, and we can help you. Listen to me, I'm talking to somebody right now. Don't make permanent decisions about a temporary confusion. You can be set free from that thing. If you've been defiled, you've been through things like that, you can be delivered, you can be set free. We must never forget, back in your notes, who we are, both as individuals and corporately. Individuals, we're Christ's ambassadors, I said that. As if God were making his plea through us, his appeal through us, ambassadors, reconcilers. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. I like saying it this way, we're all crackpots. We all got issues, but the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us is a majority. And even though you might have issues, he can still use you. He said, I don't know how God can use me. I come from a dysfunctional family. I like saying it this way, I just think it's fun. Jesus' family was dysfunctional. At 12 years old, they left him in the temple. I mean, my God, don't you know where your 12-year-old is? Now there's some cultural context about that. Everyone comes from a How about Joseph? A very dysfunctional dude. You thought you had challenges with your brothers. They went and threw him in a pit and lied to dad, and he went off to slavery. Well, that's some real sibling hatred right there. Dysfunctional. Don't let dysfunction stop you, and don't let dysfunction identify you. Let Jesus identify you through his blood and through the new creation. You're born again, you're made new. Can you say amen? And if you're not, then we can fix that here in just a minute. John 14:16. I love this scripture. And I will ask the Father to give you another advocate to help you, be with you forever. Everybody say forever. The Spirit of Truth, verse 17 of John 14. The world cannot accept him because he neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Don't ever forget who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You can make it. You can overcome. You're more than a conqueror. Come on, he leads us in triumphal entry. Triumphal procession, he leads us. He's overcome the world. Be of good cheer. You win. Change your perspective. Begin to walk in authority. Can be fully persuaded, as we said at the front part of this service, be fully persuaded about who you are, what God wants you to do, what God's word is towards you. Stand on that thing and turn the battle at the gate. Can you say amen? God is raising up victors in the body of Christ, not victims. A victim mentality will get you nothing. Look for a handout, and the government ain't gonna save you. Jesus already did. Start ruling, start reigning, start leading, start taking places. Come on, he says in the Psalms, I've installed my king in Zion. God is going to install people in high places to make decisions, judicial decisions, to change legislation. I declare to you that over the next 6 months, by the end of this year, there's going to be a great overthrowing of even those that are Baal worshipers. God is going to release his power all across the nation as the church of God comes alive. Can you say amen? And you train your kids to take over. Train your kids to control themselves. Train your kids to learn, to grow, to take over the places of influence. Where are the next great leaders? I believe they're here. I believe they're being raised up. 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you know that your bodies, I'm talking about recalling or understanding who we are, both as individuals, still talking about individuals, and then corporately, individuals, 1 Corinthians 6:19, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, who you've received from God? You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Come on, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, individually. So he comes and lives inside your heart when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what I just preached on. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He comes to live on the inside of you, but to be baptized is to be pickled. If you take a cucumber, there's a lot of people that make pickles in Alaska this time of the year. Your cucumbers get done. How many of you make pickles? Raise your hand. You're baptizers. You take a cucumber and you put it in a vat of solution, you let it soak for a period of time, and that solution works through that cucumber, transforming it into a pickle. That's what it is to be filled with the Spirit. In you, on you, on you, all over you, pickle. They're the best kind of Christians there is. Filled with the Spirit. Corporately, the gathered church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gathered church, ekklesia, is the actual word in the Greek. It was a term that was used, a political term. Ekklesia was those that would be called out to vote. And when the ekklesia would make a decision, that's how the decision would be. So when Jesus uses the word church, or in Koine Greek, ekklesia, he's specifically using a term for the church, which many people have forgotten. We are actually supposed to rule. We're actually supposed to reign. We're actually supposed to, that the decisions and the decrees that we make from this place, this is the most important decision in all of Alaska, is this meeting right here and every other Bible preaching, teaching church. That when the church gathers, that when we pray and we decree, come on, there's change, there's breakthrough. There's a decree that we need to release in this hour. Come on, there's a moral outcry. Enough is enough. And it's not going to change unless the church gets on fire and begins to push back. There's got to come a revelation that causes a revolution. Are you talking about a physical revolution? I am not. I'm not talking about that. However, why was the American Revolution? Why did the American Revolution come to pass? Because King George, and you can go and read the Declaration of Independence, and it reads all the reasons they said we're not having him as king anymore. And I'll just tell you that if what happens in America, things begin to turn so much that we begin to lose our right to gather and we begin to lose our right to free speech, there's some people that'll just go quietly, ride quietly into the night and drink the Kool-Aid, and there's a whole bunch of other people that will not. You cannot take what our founding fathers died for. You can't take that. I'm not going to stand quietly by and whisper and try not to be politically correct. We're already far along on being we're not politically correct, and I refuse to be so. Going to say the truth, going to put as much cinnamon and sugar on it as I can, but going to speak the truth in love, going to stand on his word and preach it. And yes, it brings a dividing line. It does bring a dividing line. Gosh, you're kind of intense. I heard somebody say the first time in the service, this just this morning. They said, well, you're sure not afraid of offending anybody. You know, the word of God offends. Jesus called somebody a dog. Called a Syrophoenician woman a dog. And you know what was interesting about that? She's like, well, that may be, but I still need a miracle for my daughter, so if you could just kick me down a couple crumbs, we're good. You know, when you're desperate and you're hungry and you're thirsty, you really don't really care whether people like you or not. We're not here for a popularity contest to see how many likers we can get. We're here to turn America around. We're here to change this. Ah! We're here to change this nation. One family at a time, one soul at a time, person after person after person after person. People need deliverance. The doors of this place aren't going to stay shut. They're going to stay open. They're going to stay open. Why? Because people need what we have. Freedom. Forgiveness. They need deliverance. You can't teach demons. Don't look to the public school to bring it. They've already shown what they're going to bring. Come on, somebody shout amen. How did I get down here? We're the church. We're the ecclesia. We've been called out, washed in the blood. With the naos of God, turn to Ephesians 2, verse 22. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. He's talking about the church. Individually, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Corporately, we're the naos of God. That literally, when we gather together right now, right here, God is here. God is here by His Spirit. Theologically, whether you see a cloud or don't see a cloud, whether you feel His presence or don't feel His presence, whether you've got goosebumps or chicken skin or whatever you call it, or you don't have any, whether you believe it or you don't believe it, the truth is, He's here. Theologically, it is a very strong, the naos of God, the dwelling place of God. This is a dwelling place of God, a church. It's not a building, it's people. He didn't die for buildings, He died for people. Lift your hands to Jesus. There's been identity theft throughout the church. There's been identity theft individually. People don't know who they are. You're the righteousness of God in Christ, and we are the most powerful force on the planet Earth. It is God's idea to build the church. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. The upper echelon, the forces of darkness, the powers of hell, they won't be able to defeat the church of the living God. What is the key to healing America? The church, an on-fire church, not a dead church, not a pharisaical church, not a church that's all jacked up and apostate and ordaining people that should not be ordained. Not a sloppy agape, but a holy, sanctified, set apart, on fire, uncompromising, bold, zealous, militant church. Filled with the love of God. Filled with the mercy of God. Compelling people to get right with the Lord. That the love of God would constrain you, would constrain us. That's the key to the healing of America, the church. No matter who is elected, it is not going to bring revival. Revival's never supposed to come from the White House. Government. Government's job is so that we could live at peace. We certainly don't have that. Relatively far away from the things that are happening on the border and cartels and gangs, but it certainly is creeping up here. It's time for a great awakening. I said it's time for a great awakening. We must not forget the job that we're to do. It's reach the lost. Everybody say reach the lost. Praying for 5,000 people to be added to the church this year. Last year we had 2,700 decisions for Christ. This year believing for 5,000. How many of you will pray for that? He said, well, how big is the church now? Well, new numbers, new stats, 1,900. 1,900 people call this place home and come once a month, approximately, as far as we can tell. He said, is that important? It is important. You know why? You're important. Every single one of you are important. Every single person is important. Loving people, caring for people. He said, well, where are the 2,700? If we're not, where is everybody? Because I didn't leave. And yeah, 2,700 people prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Maybe they've gone to other churches, and if they're healthy churches, we rejoice. If they're unhealthy, sick, controlling cults, I pray they close. If they're healthy churches, praise God, we can fill other churches. Glory to God. But many people are not here because they prayed a prayer and didn't get discipled, which is the second thing, write in your notes. Make disciples. Everybody say make disciples. So let me ask you, who are you discipling? You said, well, I just got here. I don't even know Jesus yet. All right, let's fix that in just a second. But if you've been here for any length of time, I mean, who are you helping? Who are you discipling? Who are you encouraging? Do you have anybody that you call and encourage in Christ? Do you know anybody that's missing? How many of you know someone that's missing? You don't see them today. You call them. Reach out to them. We have a whole department called a Connect Department. That's what we do. And it's just not enough. We're just almost like sand sifting through our fingers. But we have this this incredible system called the life group system. And the life groups are how we basically, just life groups and teams, everybody say it, life groups and teams. It's basically how we disciple people. Of course, Sunday morning's important. You're getting discipled right now. But if this is the only word you get all week, it's not enough. And Wednesday, of course, is Sunday night. We had 104 life groups in the last season, which is a great, it's a great miracle, honestly. It's the largest life group system in the state of Alaska. That's amazing, that I know of. And then we plummeted as we went to the summer to 36 life groups, which we expected. People got cabin fever, they're out, they're fishing, they're doing all their stuff. 36 is a miracle, Pastor Tammy. Pastor Tammy, would you stand? She's over all of our life group system and our Connect department. Thank you. In fact, Mike, if you're a director, would you stand? Pastor Vince and Ava, Minister Ava, would you stand? If you're a director and you're in here, I know people are around, would you stand? All right, good. They're out serving in the back. Okay, good, 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 good. Brother Nathan, all right. So in the fall, we're targeting and believing God to have 200 life groups. Why? Because we need to make disciples, not converts. It's not just about having a big gathering on Sunday morning, because you know as well as I do, if you don't really grow and you don't really mature and you don't really study to show yourself approved, then how are you actually going to walk in the freedom that Jesus purchased? Some of you have heard revelation this morning you never heard before. People need to get discipled. That is our method for training and discipling people. Yeah, we're going to have services. We'll have services and more services. These life groups, the best way to get discipled is in a small group, in a team. 200 life groups. Would you say it? 200 life groups. Why would you do that? Because we want to heal, see America healed. Because we want to change our culture. We want to change the nation. So it isn't that like a drop in the bucket. I don't know. I don't think about that. I'm just going to do everything I can with all of his power that works so mightily on the inside of us to do everything I can, because he has constrained me. He compels me by his love. I've been delivered. I've been set free. And I got to tell everybody I know, I've been delivered from the hand of the enemy. I've been set free from bondage. I've been set free from all kinds of things. God has delivered me and delivered my wife and delivered thousands of other people. And we can't help but testify. I can't help but share. It's against my religion not to share. It's against my religion not to testify. I've got to tell everybody there's one whose name is Jesus, and he died on a cross and he rose again from the grave so that you can be delivered, so that you can be free, so that America can be delivered. So America, there's no reason to stay in bondage anymore. Today is the last day of the bondage that you've been under. Today is the last day that you've been under the grip of the enemy. I break its hold and I declare freedom to you. And the key to the healing of America is the church. And in closing, each one reach one. In this sanctuary right now, approximately 500 plus adults. What would happen if each and every person here purpose in their heart to reach one person and bring them to church by next week? Like you just targeted your faith. You just said, I'm just going to bring one, just one person. I'm going to bring one. I'm going to pray that they stay. I'm going to get one person in the house of the Lord by next week. You know what would happen?
We would double.
You say, no, he wouldn't, because some people wouldn't be. Oh, zip it. You get the idea. Purpose in your heart to reach somebody. Great. Thanks for the golf clap right there. Come on, everybody say, help me reach someone. All right, let me put it this way. How many of you will take the challenge of seeing someone added to the church? And what I mean by that, they come in and they stay and they get discipled. They become part of this incredible community. You're going to take the challenge of reaching someone. By the end of the year, you'll see someone in here. Raise your hand and encourage yourself. All right. You can do it. Start praying. So I can't. I'm really not like that. I'm kind of shy. Pray that God would help you. God can use shy people. God can use rude people. He can use a donkey. He can use me. Oh. King James uses another word for that. Look at 2. Pray for people. Come on, pray for people. Abraham Lincoln said this: I've been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day. The great emancipator. It's a great thing when you come to the end of yourself. It's a great thing when you get to the place and you don't know how to make it and you fall on your knees and you cry out and then God comes and gives breakthrough. If you've not had that experience, then you need to take it. You need to receive that and discipline. Put your phone up and cry out to God for your loved ones, for your family, for our nation. Cry out. Cry out for a revival. Cry out. And you be the answer, as that one brother who played the banjo, Bobby. I'm trying to remember his last name. He was a world-class surfer. Bobby said, hey, Pastor, I learned something. I'm like, what'd you learn? He said, if I want to have revival, I'll just put a circle around myself. I'm having it. I thought, wow. You know, revival, if you'll just have it, get hungry for God, read the word, get in prayer, go to church. Come on, somebody say amen. Pray for people. Lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Oh, how God longs to flow through you. Just give them an opportunity to do. What if they don't like me? They already don't. They already don't like you. God loves you. Go ahead and let them use you. Share your faith with others. Share your faith with others. And then lastly, let's fulfill the vision of the 12-1-20. Let's fulfill the vision of the 12-1-20. By 2025, we will have 1,200 congregations around the world. Currently, I think we're getting close to 700. How is it possible to have, you only have 700? How are you going to get to, same way we got to 700? One person at a time, one family at a time, one church at a time. Just keep planning, keep believing, keep trying, keep praying. God can do miracles. Come on, somebody say amen. America can be healed. Let it start with you and your family.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.